I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to our scripture reading found in Daniel chapter 6. We're considering today this most well-known story in the book of Daniel, Daniel in the lion's den. Probably one of the top 10 most well-known stories in the whole Bible. I don't think any Sunday school curriculum for children has ever been written that did not include this story. And if you've ever been into my office, you know that I like this story because I've got a painting of it hanging on my wall. It features Daniel seated among nine lions. His legs are crossed because there's no room for two legs, only one. So one must go on top of the other because of all the lions that are pressing in. Two of them near him are fighting one another. One lion is roaring with his mouth wide open right in the ear of Daniel, exposing these large, menacing teeth. Daniel is has his hands in a posture like this, with his face lifted heavenward in a posture of prayer. And he's wearing a swath of cloth around his midsection. It's the only part of his body that is covered, exposing all of the rest of his skin. And we can see that it is completely undamaged by any violence from a lion. There's one feature of the painting that is undoubtedly in error. It stems from the fact that it's a Romantic era painting, and so it shows Daniel as a young, very muscular 20-something year old, when in fact, in this story, he is over 80 years old. He definitely does not look like that painting portrays him. But we're going to read this story now in its entirety. Excuse me, beginning in verse 1 of Daniel 6. Hear now the word of God. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May God bless to our hearts this reading of his word. I think the theme of this chapter is faithfulness. The faithfulness of God to his people, and resulting from that, the faithfulness of God's people to their God. God's people at this time needed to know of the faithfulness of God. You remember the context of the book of Daniel. Everything had fallen apart in the nation. Their temple had been destroyed by Babylon. They had been taken into captivity. It seemed that God had abandoned them. And the message of Daniel is, oh, no, he hasn't. He is still very much in control of all things. And the glorious way it's that message comes forth from this chapter is that by the end of the chapter, even the dull-witted Darius can see that and pronounces the faithfulness, the power, the everlasting dominion of God. And as a result of God's faithfulness, Daniel is faithful. God's people are faithful. When I think of faithful people, I think of my father. My father passed away just over 3 years ago. And several things come to mind about him. Let me just mention one of them. Probably 20 years ago, Wendy and I went to visit my parents in Memphis, where my father served as an elder in their church. And at that time, their church was in the middle of the worship wars that so many churches fought during that era. And their solution was to have a traditional service in the very traditional sanctuary that church had, and to add a contemporary service that would take place in the gymnasium. And my father was concerned that that division not split the church. So he decided, as somebody who was definitely from that generation that preferred the traditional service, but he decided that they would go to the contemporary service. So Wendy and I went to visit them over a Sunday, and we went to church with them, and we went to the contemporary service. And it struck me as I was there that everything about this represents everything my father cannot stand. Loud music, dominated by guitars and drums, chaos everywhere, an atmosphere of informality, people coming in and out, kids running wild, people bringing food and drink into the sanctuary, no beloved organ present anywhere. And my father never said a word of criticism about it. He only went in support and only had good things to say. He was a faithful man. So let's look at this faithful man in Daniel 6 today and see how we can become faithful like he was, because we have the same faithful God that Daniel had. You know, sometimes faithfulness gets you promoted, and sometimes faithfulness gets you persecuted. Both happened with Daniel. We read first of the way his faithfulness led to his promotion in the court of King Darius. And the way that happened, apparently, was that Darius was afraid of graft. He was afraid that the tax money would be skimmed off the top and he would lose what was rightfully his. So he set up this system that had three, what our text calls, presidents, under them 120 satraps under each president. So the idea was undoubtedly here, so it says that the king might suffer no loss. The idea was that it would be a system of mutual accountability with checks and balances. So the satraps would be overseen by the presidents, and each one would kind of compete against another. If the revenues were markedly lower in one system than in the other, then the king would know that something fishy is going on here. People are, my officials are stealing my money. And in order for graft to happen in a situation like that, there would need to be conspiracy between all of the three at the top, the three presidents, one of whom was Daniel. Well, there was the problem, because Daniel could not be bought. He was an honest man of faithfulness. So all the other officials hated him because he ruined their plan to skim money off the top that belonged to the king. It's kind of like a story I read this week of a young man who took a job, and during his orientation, his boss told him how to pad his expense account and said that everybody is doing this, and here's how you do it, and you'll get a little extra money each month. And this young man was a Christian, so he refused to do that, and as a result became hated among others because his expense report was always lower than everyone else's. And after a while, they realized, well, why? You know, maybe it's because everybody else is cheating and he's not. And that's exactly the situation with Daniel here. So as a result of his faithfulness, he was promoted by the king because the king had learned to trust him, but he was persecuted by everyone else, because his righteousness exposed their unrighteousness. And then, to make things even worse, the word leaked out that the king planned to promote Daniel yet one final time. to be ruler over the entire kingdom. Then everybody started to worry, because now Daniel knew their schemes, and now he was going to be their boss. They were in trouble. This man had to go, they reasoned. So they tried a couple things. The first thing they tried to get rid of Daniel, they said, you know, everybody must have some skeletons in their closet somewhere. If we dig deep enough, we're going to find some dirt on this guy. So they dug as deeply as they could, and they must have had significant resources. They definitely had significant motivation. They dug as deeply as they could, and they came up empty. Nothing could be discovered about Daniel that they could use to get rid of him. You know, when you get desperate, your mind can come up with some pretty clever plans. They were desperate, and their mind came up with a diabolically clever plan. They said, well, Daniel is faithful. Let's see if we can come up with a plan that will use his faithfulness against him. So what they did was they came up with this idea that flattered Darius by saying, we've got an idea. Why don't you make an order that for 30 days, no petitions will be allowed to anyone except you, including people's gods. They can't even pray to their gods for 30 days. Now, you know, everybody kind of likes to be needed. There's something in our sinful nature that appeals to. And Darius kind of liked the sound of this. But they knew that he would be asking, well, what does Daniel think about this? So they lied. They came to Darius and they said, all the kings, presidents, and satraps agree with this. Well, that wasn't true. Daniel didn't agree with it, but they lied and said that he did. So the king probably reasoned, well, if all of my leaders are behind this, especially including Daniel, it must be okay. And so he signed it. And the administrators, the satraps, the presidents were all counting on two things. For this scheme to work, two things had to have happened. Number one, they were counting on the nature of the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which was that those laws were irrevocable. The thinking was, you know, our king is kind of this semi-divine character, and if he says something, then it has to be 100% infallible, so it would make sense then that you can't revoke that. And the Bible kind of pokes fun at that, because as soon as the king signs it, he regrets it and wants to change it, but he's trapped by their tradition of the laws of the Medes and the Persians being irrevocable. The second thing they were counting on, amazingly enough, was the faithfulness of Daniel. They said, our scheme will not work unless this man is willing to be faithful even upon pain of death. And it's amazing here that they were confident that he would be, which says a lot about Daniel's faithfulness. Especially when you consider how easy it would have been for him to rationalize away his prayers. He could have said, well, you know, I don't need to pray out loud. I don't need to observe my normal method of praying, where I open the windows to facing Jerusalem and pray on my knees and pray out loud. I can just pray with my eyes open while standing and silently, and nobody will know. And especially that must have been a compelling temptation, because Daniel knew something that the prophet Jeremiah had written. Jeremiah was a contemporary of Daniel's, and Jeremiah had prophesied that the exile was going to last 70 years. And do you know where they were in that 70-year calendar right now? They were right at the very end of it. The thing that Daniel had longed for so long, a return to his beloved homeland, was right around the corner. Would Daniel be willing for faithfulness to God to give all that up? And the answer is yes. For Daniel, the most important thing was to be faithful. So it's interesting the way the story is told. We read very simply. He didn't go through any of these mental machinations that I've just recorded. It just records very simply, Daniel prayed as was his custom. So that led to his being thrown into the lion's den, which is where we see the faithfulness of God. The way the story is told, it's kind of told from the king's perspective, and it's a hopeless situation that Daniel is in from the king's perspective. He's thrown into this den of lions. And we see what these lions are capable of when we see what happens at the end of the chapter when all Daniel's enemies are thrown there. And the king knows that. And we read that he puts a stone over the mouth of that that cave and he seals it. No one can come and rescue Daniel except God. And it's interesting here, the king, in his desire for Daniel to be delivered, he didn't want Daniel to be thrown there. He felt trapped. And he does what he had just forbidden being done. He prays. And he says to Daniel, "May your God deliver you." See, that's a prayer. And so he says that. He seals up the tomb, and he goes back to his palace, where he spends a restless, anxious night. We're told that he could not sleep, he could not eat, he could not even be diverted by entertainment from all the diversions that would have been available to him. All he could do was pace, worry, and wait for sunrise. At the first crack of dawn, he takes off running to the tomb. And it would seem that even before he gets there, he starts shouting these words to Daniel. "Daniel, has your God delivered you?" And in the moment between the utterance of that question and the reply, he must have been waiting with bated breath. And then his heart skipped a beat as he hears that familiar voice of Daniel in that greeting he had heard 1,000 times, the traditional greeting, "O King, live forever." And it was Daniel's voice. God had delivered him. The king raises him up out of that den of lions. Not a mark on his body anywhere. And that situation required an explanation. Daniel's explanation. God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. God had been faithful to Daniel. We see the faithfulness of God here to us as well. And we see it especially as we compare this story to the familiar and similar situation we have with the death of Jesus. Did you catch as we were going through this, the many parallels? Beginning with the hatred of Jesus' enemies toward him, motivated by their jealousy of Jesus, resulting in trumped-up charges being brought against him, and a conviction of death, a conviction of guilt, and a penalty of death assigned to Jesus. And then even after that happens, the ruler of his day, like Darius, Pilate, knows that Jesus is innocent and attempts to rescue him from death. But at the end of the day, again, like Darius, his courage failed him and he gave in to the people and orders the crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus goes into the cave. In his case, it was after Jesus died. And this is where the story departs from Daniel's, isn't it? Daniel says God sent an angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. Jesus said, I could call upon angels and they would deliver me, but no call was ever uttered. And Jesus died. And he was put into a tomb. And a stone was put over that tomb and it was sealed and guarded. But it was not enough. Jesus, by the power of God, by the faithfulness of God, emerged from that tomb. And you see, this is where the faithfulness of God is even better in our case than it was for Daniel. Because by the fact that Jesus faced death and actually died instead of being delivered prior to death, God defeats all of our enemies. The enemies of sin and death, the lions that overpower us, God has defeated once and for all in Jesus. God has been faithful to us. You know, the early church saw in Daniel's den of lions, they saw a great picture of the tomb of Jesus. And like Daniel emerged from that den of lions, Jesus emerged from that tomb victorious, having defeated our enemies. You know, lions in the Bible are a symbol of the brokenness of this world as these majestic creatures of God have become hostile to us. And yet we read also in the Bible that when the work of God comes, the nature of lions themselves is changed. That famous verse from Isaiah 11 where we read, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together and a little child, like these little children, precious children who walked up the aisle today. Imagine one leading a ferocious lion because the nature of the lion has been changed and a parent can watch that and be completely at ease. That's what Jesus has done. He's defeated our enemies completely. And you know, there's one more thing, one more parallel that we see here. Remember what happened to Daniel's enemies after Daniel came from the lion's den unscathed? The enemies of Daniel, who conspired together for Daniel to be thrown there, themselves were thrown into the lion's den, fulfilling what the scriptures say over and over again in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, that King David prayed in Psalm 35 that his enemies would fall into the pit they dug for David himself. That's what happens here. And you know what? That happened with Jesus. Who was behind the crucifixion of Jesus? Who was the malevolent enemy behind that? It was Satan. He was the one doing a dance of joy when Jesus was hanging on the cross. He had won. He had prevailed. God's anointed was now no more. But we all know how that ends. With the resurrection of Jesus, Satan now, where he thought he had gotten rid of God's anointed, instead, by that very action, his head, the head of the serpent, is crushed. God has faithfully defeated his enemies. Here's the application. Because of God's faithfulness, he asks us to be faithful to him, like Daniel was. So let me ask you an application question that stems from that. Remember that Daniel's faithfulness was seen in the area of his praying. It was his habit to pray three times a day. So let me ask you this. Is there a step of faithfulness in your prayer life that God is calling you to take?
wherever you are right now, maybe you don't have any regular time of prayer at all. Well, a step of faithfulness might be just carve out 5 minutes at some point every day where you just go before God in prayer. That's a step of faithfulness. Or maybe for you, it's praying with a spouse. Maybe you and your husband or wife never pray together. So a step of faithfulness might be, you know, we're going to, it might just be 30 seconds, but before I leave for work every day, I'm going to make sure we pray together. Or it might be joining in corporate prayer in some way. We have a Wednesday morning prayer meeting here. We'd love to have anybody join us who wants to join us for that. I don't know what it is, but is there a step of faithfulness? You know, habits are very important things. Daniel had a habit of praying. He didn't just wait till he felt like it. He had a habit of praying. That's a good thing. That's a step of faithfulness. I think one of the things that keeps us from doing that at times is that we listen to the voice of Satan in our ear. And you know what the voice of Satan says to us? The voice of Satan says to us, you know, I don't care what you do. God is going to look at you and he's going to say, what, is that the best you can do? I'm so disappointed in you. You see, that's a lie. You know what God is saying when you take a step of faithfulness? He's saying the same thing that a parent says of a toddler who's learning to walk. Right? We've all experienced that. You know, what does a toddler do when they're learning to walk? I mean, you know, they're standing up there and they might take two very wobbly steps. And how do the parents react to that? I mean, you would think this child just discovered a cure for cancer. I mean, they applaud. They're like, what a good boy. They do the baby talk thing. And I am so proud of you. You are such a big boy. You're such a good girl. Look at you. Don't you understand? Because God has been faithful to you in Jesus, that's what he says. When you take the smallest step of faithfulness, he doesn't say, what, is that the best you can do? Come on now. Try harder. You can do. No, God doesn't say that. He applauds that faithfulness. He reassures us of his love for us. And in doing so, he changes our hearts so that we want to be even more faithful to a God who loves us like that. Let's pray to him now. Oh God, help us, we pray, to trust your faithfulness to us. And in return, to be like Daniel. Faithful men, women, and children. And help us to hear your voice to us, that you're a Father who loves us, whom we can trust. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come now to the Lord's table, I'd like to ask you a question. If you could switch places with one of the two characters in this story of Daniel 6, Daniel in the lion's den, whose place would you take? Would you be Darius in his palace the night Daniel was in the lion's den, anxiously pacing, unable to sleep, unable to eat, unable to be diverted? Or would you choose to be Daniel in the midst of danger, but trusting God and having an angel of God sent to be there, stopping the mouths of lions? You see, it's an easy question to answer. We would all rather be in a lion's den, trusting God, than in a king's palace, absolutely miserable. But here's the good news for Christians. In a sense, we have both. We have God's presence, even in the lion's den, and we also have a future in a king's palace, King Jesus. And he's earned that for us. This feast, this Lord's Supper, is a prefiguring of our feast in the king's palace on that day when everlasting joy will be ours. So we simply say, Jesus, we're with you. If it's a lion's den, then as long as you're with me, I'll be there. When it's in a king's palace, because you're the king, I'll be there. And I'm faithful to you, whether it's the lion's den or the king's palace. What a blessed people we are. So we're going to celebrate that now as we partake of these elements. And as we do, so let me just ask you to meditate on the faithfulness of God and just hear from him. Any step of faithfulness he's calling you to take. And remember, God applauds you. No matter how small the step of faithfulness is, he doesn't condemn you. He doesn't fuss at you for how much better it could be. It could always be better for any of us. He applauds you for that step of faithfulness because you're in Christ. Let's pray to him now.